If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a production, of Dirty Mo Media.
The Indianapolis 500.
This is and always will be the greatest spectacle in racing.
Goodyear makes a move. Lowell wins by just a few tenths of a second.
J.R. Hildebrand. Careful of traffic. The gears now.
He hit the wall. Dan Weldon is going to win.
Not in. Welcome to the four-time club, Elio Castroneves. With the spirit of Ronnie Peterson on board with his helmet, Marcus Ericsson wins the Indianapolis 500 in the most dramatic way.
Comes Daly. Daly going big. Hometown hero wants the lead. He's grown up here his whole life.
Flying Mullet is flying out in front.
Look, this is similar to what George Washington felt when he got into that wooden boat with all of his boys and their muskets and swords. And they came to cross that river, Delaware River, I believe it was, and America became a place, and it became a free America. We were excited about that. That's just what it feels like going through gas in an alley.
It is upon us. We are finally just days away from the 107th running of the Indianapolis 500 mile race. We are back again for the second time this week on Speed Street. We had the Burger Bash event on Monday night with Kevin Lee and Kirk Cavan. Great crowd. I appreciate all you guys. Scotty Mack stopped by. A lot of fun there. So if you haven't checked that out, we recap all of qualifying, really dive into that, and we hit you up twice this week because, of course, we have to, because it's the biggest week of the year, and we all know this. I got a great show here today, looking ahead to this weekend, all the events upcoming, and, of course, the race. We're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss green flag flyers. We're going to discuss possible other guests coming to the greatest spectacle in racing. We have a question from Denny Hamlin. He fires one off to Connor and did not do one for me because he has no clue or care who I am, which is okay. But we have a full show, and race week is here, and of course, we've got to do it. We can't go anywhere without my pal, driver of the number 20 ride at Carpenter Racing. You're going to see him out there in a really slick-looking livery this weekend. You've already seen it all, well, the last couple weeks, but looking forward to see it in the big show. It's Connor Daly. How are we doing, CD?
Good, doing fine. We are, really cool to get two shows in this week. If you haven't listened to the show from Monday, turned out great. I listened to it. Audio quality was solid. Everything sounded good. Great to get to talk to Scotty Mack as well. And honestly, some great fan questions and even some great, a great year for the Random Indy 500 Driver of the Week. Great stuff there. Really enjoyed that one. So, doing that live is very similar to how we do the show. So, it was really cool to be able to do that. We had a great crowd there. But this week has been busy. It's been, you know, fun. Tuesday wasn't too crazy. Got to do a few different things, and normally Tuesday, and this is kind of where I'm a little bit, I guess, sad about what we used to do and what we don't do now. But like Tuesday, they used to send drivers all across the country to do like media tours. Like I remember 2017, I flew on a private jet with Fernando Alonso and Alex Rossi to New York City. And we did some incredible stuff. Got to do Good Morning Football. Got to do an interview with the Players Tribune. Got to see Adam Silver from the NBA. I hung out with Ric Flair for the morning. We did nothing this year. So honestly, it was the same last couple years. Different strategy, it seems. We obviously had Catherine Legg go do Good Morning America, I saw, or something like that. And I'm sure maybe the bigger name folks do stuff, but I do feel like that's a missing element. And again, there's strategies, but like a lot of the drivers, when we used to do those, like the flying private to New York was awesome and that was fun. But most of the media tours I did, we basically drove 2 hours to Louisville to do 5 radio interviews and then come back. And a lot of the drivers just basically said that this is probably not worth the time and money and effort to go to these places to do that. But I almost disagree. I was fine doing it. I thought it was fun. And it just gave us something to do all day where like, hey, we're promoting our event. We're going to different markets and promoting our event. But who knows? I'm sure they've got, you know, a strategy behind what they're doing. We got a qualifying rating from over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that, Joey. It was basically exactly the same as the year before, rating wise. Almost a million people. And the attendance was up, as you said. So I didn't even know what the TV advertising program was for qualifying. But again, we got more people that watched that qualifying than I believe the Indy GP race. So like that's kind of hard to believe. But I wish that there was still more, because after Saturday, like the drama, and I don't know, I still don't know what we have to do to get people to see it, because people are coming to the race. Like the ticket sales are outstanding. Like we are going to get very, very, very close to selling this race out, if not sell it out. I've been talking to Doug Bowles, my stepdad, and they are selling more tickets every day than they've sold the last couple years. There's a couple, like we are going to get very close, and that's a huge feat. Like that, there's over 260,000 permanent seats. So a lot of human beings are coming to this motor racing event, and we should all be pumped about it. So I thought the qualifying ratings would have been better, but as long as that leads into everyone watching the race, that's what we need. We need this race with everything in our fiber of soul, body, mind, we need it to be a good TV rating.
I want to go back to what you were saying about the media tour, because I remember those days. I remember when you were flying back home and I was working for Pat McAfee at the time and we were in the infield. And we were waiting for you because you had been out, you know, on a private jet doing your thing in New York all day. And like, you know, we were looking up and the planes go by and Pat was like, oh, that's probably Connor right there. So I remember those days very well. But, you know, obviously with the pandemic and everything that happened, I can see where maybe it would have shifted in a way. But I would have thought, CD, that they would have thrown you guys in the media center and various different green rooms or whatever, and just run you through the ring or the car wash of going on these different, you know, Louisville, Cincinnati, Chicago, Wisconsin, wherever, really, just where you're sitting in the seat. They got you set up there. You connect to there, you know what I mean, to that market, and you're on for 8 minutes or 5 minutes and promoting it, and then on to the next one you go. Do they not do that?
Well, having said that, there is still a Zoom window today. Right after I finish this show, we have an hour of a couple different Zooms and interviews. So yes, there is that. Okay. And then we also do that Thursday as well with a lot of the at-track media also. So it's not like there's no media. It just there's just a bit of a different strategy and a bit of a different less travel involved, it seems. So I guess I don't know how the numbers work on that. And again, there were a lot of those media tours that, you know, the drivers who are, you know, who are not Elio, who are not Joseph, who are not anyone from the team Penske or Ganassi, it was bad. But I enjoyed them because I liked going different places and telling people about our event. So I think there's yet to be seen, but we have to get people to watch this race. We have to get people to tune in because I think it's going to be a fantastic event. It's in no way does it feel like it's not getting record. Like there's a ton of people coming. The hype is real. Qualifying was insane. Everything leading up to this, I think, is great. I watched the last 100 Days to Indy episode a couple days ago from last week. I thought that was a great episode. Really, really enjoyed that one a lot. I thought it got better and better. Telling the story of Will Power, I thought was fantastic. And apparently this week, it's going to be a little bit awkward and difficult because it's about mainly about Catherine and Stephen Wilson, which I understand. I don't understand a little bit because they're obviously Catherine being the only female, I have to give that a massive shout out and credit. And Stefan being a one-time, his story with his brother is great. I just wish there were more episodes, honestly, because, like, I want to hear those stories, but I want to keep hearing more about other people. And honestly, like, we're like, two episodes left, and I'm a little selfish here, but, like, this is my home race. And, like, we've done nothing about me and the hometown. Like, I'm the only person from this city originally. And I, of course, am going to be selfish. Look, I can be... I have watched every episode to support all the other guys because I like this program and I think it's edited well. But, like, I know IndyCar is telling them who to film and when. Like, I got that admitted to me, which is fine, because they would know more than directors and producers from outside of the arena of the IndyCar sport. But I just hope there's by the time we get to the end of it, I would like to see, more of some other people and hopefully this show. Apparently I'm in the next episode a little bit, which is exciting. But I just want more of it because I consume IndyCar content. I mean, would you like, I hope that they continue this after six episodes. I hope that they're like, hey, you know what? I think there's more stuff to tell. So let's get into it.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, because as we talked about Connor plenty since we started the show, how often do you go out of town or whenever you're doing one of your cool ventures somewhere, or hell, even when I'm somewhere and I tell people about how much I love IndyCar and the Indy 500, we talk about how a lot of times they'll be like, oh, there's other races. Like, I thought it was just that big one, the Indy 500. And you're like, no, there's a lot more. There's plenty more, And then they go to other places and cool places and good racing. And it goes into, early fall. So I think that's an important too, but kind of like you said, like maybe this is just the, hey, we're doing this leading up to what everybody already knows about to open them up to these cool stories, these cool personalities,
exactly.
This awesome series of racing, right? To then be able to make it a full season long type of thing.
And I heard it's going well. Like I did hear the show is doing positively when it comes to judging how a show is doing. I heard this morning that they are the producers, the executives, the owners, the financiers, whatever it is, that they are very happy with it. So that's positive. So keep watching it because it is successful and there is interest in doing more. So that's huge for us. And again, I hope this Indy 500 is one of those things that is like a launch pad for the rest of the year. We obviously know it's always our most watched event by millions, but it seems like when I look at other sporting events, and I don't know if you'd agree, Joey, but like Super Bowls, some PGA events, the Masters, NBA finals games, certain sporting events, they're not doing bad television ratings wise. Like there are people going to watch television, right? There are people that watch TV for these sporting events. And you've seen several events that have gone up in ratings. You're like, man, this is like the most watched Super Bowl of all time. Or like, this is the most whatever. Like, people are watching. So I want to have a kick like that for the Indy 500 because I think as long as we get it to enough people and that people know that it's going to happen, that it's been a crazy week of like qualifying, bumping someone out, but then a driver getting injured and another driver that got bumped out is back in, the fastest pole speed front row in the history, fastest field ever, like, that has to be out there somewhere. So I'm hoping that, would you agree that sporting events, major sporting events that you want to tune into have done well recently?
Yeah. And to your point, it's the those speed numbers, man, those, you know, I always talk about it with like within my career, you know, of like finding that niche, finding that little pigeonhole to corner, to carve out, you know, to make people want to come to you. And I know IndyCar is revving that up big time, you know, no, I guess pun intended there, but like they are, you see it on the social posts, you see 235, you see 234 fastest pole ever. You see all those things that you mentioned. But I just think that's key because, you know, especially when you're going up against those things, like you talked about Super Bowl, Masters, NBA playoffs, NBA finals, got to have that little pigeonhole, got to have that thing to carve yourself out. And, you know, I think if you could build and it helps this year too, that, like you said, it's not only just the speed that's out of this world on the track, but then you have these storylines that have happened that are wild, whether it be, you know, having Catherine Legg back and having another, you know, a female driver in the field, a fastest qualifier female driver ever, right?
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, now Graham out, Graham in, that whole Ray Hall storyline, which I don't know what the plot is going to be or how they're going to document this whole thing for 100 days to Indy, because it's absolutely been insane. I mean, we hadn't had that news yet on Monday night. We had kind of speculated about it in our first episode this week of, you know, who's it going to be? What's going to happen there with Steph Wilson's car? Because at the time, we didn't even know that he wasn't going to be able to. And so from that point to now, we have the announcement Tuesday morning. Graham Rahal walks into the press conference, and boom, we go not even 48 hours where it's, man. And it was. Graham was a class act. Loved everything he did, how he handled it.
Yes.
Everything he had to say. You know, but then all of a sudden, boom, he's back in the field. So, I mean, me and my wife and my son were at the museum doing a little shopping, and they had the full field shirt, you know, the 100th full field shirt.
And I saw one last night too. Yeah.
I checked and Stephen Wilson's on there, right? So it's like there's these things that everybody's going to have to switch things up pretty quickly here. So it's going to be really interesting.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah, and I did an appearance last night, a very large appearance at the Indiana Roof Ballroom for Health Connect Partners. All these, you know, different pharmacists and doctory folks, medicine world. Because again, like this week, Indy has been really busy this month, right? We have all the stuff that's going on with the Indy 500. But you had Gary V here last week for his VCon thing. Like you had a bunch of people. Apparently, the Dalai Lama or some wild. Like people with some great massive, like very popular individuals were here for that event. And there's a, you know, huge conference last night that I was doing an appearance for, and a lot of people were there interacting, right? A lot of different fans from different, you know, different series, folks from all over the country. Got to meet a lot of different people, and I had one conversation with a gentleman, and he's like, "Man, yeah, I just don't know how to, you know, I just never see IndyCar on TV. Like, where do you even find it? Like, it's so hard to find." I'm like, "Well, almost every race is on Network NBC, so it's pretty actually one of the easiest free channels to find because it's network television," and it's that question that we get just way too often. People just have no idea that it's taking place. You have to just shove it into people's faces. And I don't know how to do that. I really don't. We've talked about this 100 times. It's like a broken record. But every time I hear it, I probably made him feel bad because I was like, yeah, man, it's literally like one of the easiest channels to find. Like, we race at Sunday almost 17 times during the year on Sundays or Saturday on ovals. Like, it's super simple to find. And if not, well, I mean, yeah, if we're on the USA Network, okay, it's still not hard to find. But you're not going to go, if it's not in your mind at some point, like if it's not, if you didn't see it somewhere where you're like, oh, yeah, I remember where that was, I'm going to find it. People aren't going to sit there and scroll through every single channel that they got on their TV. If they don't know that it's on NBC, then they're never going to find it because people are lazy. That's honestly what it is. And imagine you have so much stuff that can entertain you. And if you don't find it instantly, you're probably not going to find it. At least that's how I've done it sometimes in my life. But I like, if I want to watch something, I know where to find it. I'm going to try to find it. And there's easy ways to find. You go to the Twitter sphere, you go to the internet, you literally Google search, boom, there it is. But people don't do that. So it's crazy.
That's just what I was about to say. I mean, how often are you or Ben or myself or anybody listening out at a bar with their buddies, out at a get together with, you know, their significant other, and then there are other, your friends, significant others, and you're sitting there and you're debating something nonsensical, you know, like,
yeah,
what's the third largest city in Canada? And somebody wants to, you know, immediately what you do, everybody's firing off to get to their phone and go on the Google machine, like you say, and have the answer quick. We all have this access that's right there. So yeah, it's not only about, like you said, shoving in people's faces. I think it's getting to the point where people say, I know it's out there. Now, how do I convince myself to take that next step to go to Twitter, to go to Google, say, 2023 IndyCar schedule?
Yeah.
Where can I watch IndyCar? You know, that is the leap that we are trying to get over.
Exactly. It's one of those things that whenever I get asked that question, and again, these people were great. Like, everyone was, you know, a lot of them had gone to the qualifying weekend, which was awesome. A lot of them were, you know, I'd learned a little bit about IndyCar, but still, it's 45% of the people. I'm signing hero cards there. 45% of the people was like, yeah, I don't really watch NASCAR that much. And I'm like, goodness freaking gracious. I'm like, I know we're not NASCAR, don't worry. But like, everyone, it's still that separating factor that we have to get to. So hopefully we will at some point. There's a lot of positive momentum going for this race. I see so many great things happening. Joey, we had a big announcement happen as well, which you suggested to me literally 3 years ago. Adam Driver is going to be waving the green flag for the Indy 500, the honorary starter. I think this is fantastic. I huge name. I've always wanted to meet this guy as well. And Joey, I know you were pumped about this. A lot of Indiana connection here as well.
Dude, I remember where I was. I remember what was going on when I texted you this. And yeah, I think it was the summer of 2020. And when, unfortunately, we had to move the race to August, and I was like, hey, man, do you know if there's going to be green flag waiver? Is it going to be anything? Or is it going to be just completely empty? And, you know, you're like, I don't know. But then I suggested, literally, Adam Driver. He was coming off the Star Wars sequel trilogy, playing Kylo Ren / Ben Solo. And like you mentioned, a lot of Indiana ties. The guy grew up in Mishawaka, Indiana. So it's very northern Indiana, up by South Bend. He spent a year at the University of Indianapolis. That's where I graduated from. And that's, you know, people will be like, oh, well, I don't know. I haven't seen it anywhere. Look it up. Look up an interview that he did with Larry King, rest in peace, Larry King, before he passed away. Larry King's asking him all these questions about his childhood and his upbringing. And he literally says, I spent a year at the University of Indianapolis, you know, in Indianapolis. And here he is. He's an A-list actor. He's an Oscar-nominated actor. He will win an Oscar someday. I can guarantee you that. But yeah, I mean, he's been the star of the Star Wars sequel trilogy. He's been in the House of Gucci. He's going to play the what is it, Enzo Ferrari? Who is he playing?
I have no idea, honestly.
It's the Ferrari movie. It's a new Ferrari.
Oh, he's in the Ferrari movie. Oh, nice.
I'm going to look it up right here. Yeah, he plays, it's just called Ferrari, and Adam Driver is playing Enzo Ferrari.
Huge.
Yeah, came up with, started the entire thing, right? So very big in motorsport. I'm through the roof. I mean, I tweeted about it yesterday. My friends were all texting me. They're like, oh my God, are you going to get to see Driver? Like, because they know, huge Star Wars guy. I have an entire Kylo Ren collection in my basement.
I love it.
We have all these ties. I love this guy. So I'm super, super pumped, but it's a huge name, like you mentioned, A-list actor who's coming. But the interesting and kind of unfortunate thing about Adam Driver and our situation here is that he's a very, very, very low-key individual.
Yeah.
He's not a public person. He does not have a shred of social media. Adam Driver acts, and then he does things like this to promote the pieces of work that he's acting in.
That's it. Yeah, and that a lot of the time, people have to realize that these folks that we get, Miles Teller last year, right, promoting Top Gun Maverick, of course. So, a lot of these people that come to these events are here to promote something that they're doing, but also we get them there because they can post about it on social media, right? Social media is our direct reach to new fans. Obviously, him not having social media, that's tough. But I mean, it's still awesome because it's great for us. It's great for the series. It's great to have a big name like him there. And I just hope that, hopefully he enjoys it and does the best that he can to promote it. And maybe clips of him can get used on different media outlets that we might not normally be on. But really, really cool. And I know that I hope I get to meet him. I would love to meet the guy. I didn't get to meet Miles Teller last year. I was very upset. So I hope I'm going to keep my eyes out for. No, didn't get to meet him at all, which is very sad. Top Gun Maverick is one of my favorite movies of all time. Watch it almost every week.
That seems like this tailor made that you got. I mean, that makes too much sense.
I don't know. He wasn't in Driver intros. I never got to see him, but I have a video, which is quite funny. Doug Bowles, my stepdad, sent me a video from the roof of the pagoda. Him and Miles Teller were watching the race on the roof when I took the lead, and Miles Teller seemed enthused about that. So I do have that video of his arm giving me a thumbs up when I took the lead at the Indy 500, awesome. Which is kind of cool. There are a couple other announcements as we go this week. I think Doug Bowles mentioned there might be something cool coming in tomorrow, Thursday. And then there does seem to be some people that he mentioned that want to come. So I think we'll see some more actors, some more celebrities being flown in, being in attendance for the greatest race in the world. And I'm excited about that. The series deserves it. The event deserves the attention. We got to get this going. The weather looks fantastic for this weekend as well. Everything is kind of going the right way. So it just seems like the perfect spaceship launch for IndyCar. And we just have to get it advertised. We have to push it out there. I really, really, really hope with every fiber in my heart and soul that Penske Entertainment, you just spend extra, do everything that we can, and I know that they will to get this event to the next level. So a lot of really cool stuff happening this week. One other thing as well that's happening tomorrow on Thursday, we're recording this on Wednesday, community day, normal community day, which is a lot of fun. We got to interact with a lot of kids at schools around the city today. But there's a special session tomorrow on Thursday for Graham Rahal and Catherine Legg, which I don't remember sessions like this before. I think if people crash on carb day, they might be allowed to do something on Saturday, like an install lap, something like that. So this will be really interesting. A 15-minute session where they can do basically unlimited install laps. They can't cross the start finish line, so they can never actually get a full lap in anger, which seems fair. But I mean, for Graham is getting in an entirely new car. Graham is getting in an entirely new engine, which I think I've in some group texts that I've been in, interesting subject. Graham's driven for Honda his whole life. Honda and Chevy are very, very particular about keeping their secrets secret. Even though this engine's been around a long time, the engine itself, there are still small things that both manufacturers don't want to let each other know. But, you know, Alex Rossi was a guy who was Honda for a long time and is now Chevy. And, you know, even he said, we're getting to a point where there's not a ton of differences. And I would say this year, certainly at Indy, you had both manufacturers, you know, really, really close. You have two Chevys and a Honda on the front row. You have several different manufacturers kind of scattered all over the place. So it did seem like it was much closer this year, but that's interesting for Graham. The cars will launch differently out of the pit lane. The cars will upshift and downshift differently. All small things that Graham has one practice session to learn. And now this other session as well. So I'm very, very curious to see how that goes. But there will be two cars on track tomorrow on a Thursday. So that'll be interesting.
You guys will have media day. So
yeah,
hopefully aren't outside, but I guess they're not going to be doing full labs, so it won't be as loud as what it usually would be. Why, and I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, Connor, but I'll ask it anyways. Going into the Tuesday morning announcement, you know, my different race friends that I was talking with, different people at the Bob and Tom show when I was on there, I was talking with behind the scenes, everybody was like, this is going to be tough for it to be Graham, right? Like, it feels like J.R. Hildebrand's waiting in the wings. Sage Karam's been with Dreyer and Reinbold. Why did it end up being Graham?
Well, I think, honestly, it made the most sense because Graham has been on track all month. So it's probably the safest call. It's probably the most financially beneficial for everyone because Graham has a lot of partners that he needs to have involved. And Dreyer Reinbold will obviously want their partners to be involved as well. And it just probably made the most sense behind the scenes because again, Graham knows Dennis. Graham knows Ryan and Ray really well. Graham has done a lot for the Wilson family too. So I'm sure even Stefan would feel would accept that, as tough as that is for Stefan. I feel for the guy so much. I talked to him several times this month. You hate to see that for a driver. I mean, that poor guy works his butt off for every bit of every bit of opportunity here at the Speedway. And he's had a great month, honestly. He's looked great in every session, you know, qualified the car solidly in the race. And you know, to see that is brutal. I think the poor guy is so tall too. Like you hate to see him hit the wall head on like that, because that's when you're a bigger, taller person like that. That's gotta be tough for the body as we saw. But I'm sure he'll be back, you know, just as strong as ever. I
honestly still can't figure out how the dude even gets in the car. I mean,
it's impressive.
Maybe 6'1" on a good day and getting in a 2-seater ride. I'm like, good God.
But you know what's interesting? Graham and Stefan are the tallest drivers. So like also helps the team. Like that helps the team have to not entirely reconstruct the car to fit someone entirely different in. So you can just throw Graham's seat in there from his RLL machine and basically use the same pedals, I bet. So it's something that is interesting. But I'm happy for Graham. I mean, what a range of emotions. You hate to do, you know, you hate to have to get in that way. But again, it makes the most sense overall. The engine thing is going to be a very strange deal for Chevy and Honda. But you got to remember Courtney Force as well, Graham's wife. They had a great relationship with Chevy for a very long time. I mean, that's, you know, John Force, the Force family, great relationship with Chevy there. So there, it's not necessarily completely out of the ballpark to think that there was a good conversation to be had there. And it helped, and it just, the racing world, I think, agrees, hey, this is all right. You know what I mean? This is an all right thing. So it'll be very, very interesting to see Graham in a non-United, I mean, he has 400 different liveries during the year anyway, but just to see him in not the number 15 car, I mean, this will remind me of the days where he was kind of fighting for different rides with different teams. Sarah Fisher Racing, he was driving for, I think he even drove for Dennis Reinbold back in the like 2010, 2009, back in the day when he was doing
19 at that time.
Yeah, when he was a child. So it'll be very, very interesting for sure. And Carb Day is going to be a wild one to watch.
For sure. Do you got any word on pit stop competition? Are you in that? Or
I am not in the pit stop competition this year. Sadly, my teammate Renus is going to get to do it, which is cool because I don't think he's got to do it yet. It's going to be such a fun day. Brian Adams concert as well. Saw the stage getting set up out there. Pretty pumped about that. Joey, are you going to go to the Brian Adams concert?
I don't know.
Because you got that thing Friday, right?
No, Thursday. It's tomorrow Thursday. Night. I'll be around on carb day all day at the track. Obviously we're having a little crossover. I'm filling in for Rossi on Sirius XM with Hinch and Tim Durham on Friday.
Oh, wow.
So folks at the Pagoda Plaza at like 1:15, I believe. And we'll be chopping it up there on carb day. Would love to see you out there for that. I like to go to Brian Adams. I mean, it's, the last concert inside the track before Sunday in the snake pit. Right. So I might as well try to mosey my way over there.
Yeah, why not? I saw the stage getting set up. The stage, honestly, this year, guys, looks bigger than it has been in the last couple of years.
That's what I said to Riley. We were going on a golf cart ride yesterday. She was like, I think that's a snake. I said, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It looks good, looks big. The snake pit's going to have crazy, crazy visuals more so than last year. So that'll be awesome. But yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week to look forward to. Please get out to the track. Please
get to meet Shaq.
I do hope to meet Shaq. That is a goal of mine. My girlfriend Amy also wants to get a picture next to Shaq because she's very small and he's very large. So that would be a very, very funny visual. I will be going over to the snake pit yet again on race morning. Very excited about that. This is our last show before the big race. So I hope everyone is ready for it. I hope everyone tunes in. I hope that you tell your friends to tune in. I hope that, obviously, if you're listening to this show, you're probably going to be watching anyway. But it's going to be, I think, a fantastic race. The way the tires have gone off, the way the tires have changed, the way the cars have changed day by day is really, really interesting. So I think some people might show up on race day thinking they might have a great day and have a bad day. And I think vice versa will happen as well. Some people who have struggled might have a great day because the conditions fit right. So it'll be something to pay attention to. Tire wear will be one of the most important things to pay attention to. And who can just make the least amount of mistakes in the pits and on track. It's going to be very, very interesting. I can't wait to get my guys out there, to get our car out there and line up for the race.
Yeah, man, it's finally here. You know, it feels like we're, you know, on like December 20th or so right now.
Yeah.
You got all the excitement coming of the next few days and then the lead up for the big thing. It's really, really great. Real quick, from a fan perspective, from where I've been watching, you know, up at the BCRF Pavilion and then throughout the different places around the track for practice and whatnot, it's felt like it's going to be a really entertaining. A lot of passing, a lot of just by the way, the practice has gone. Do you think we're going to see that kind of a show on Sunday, or do you think it's going to be dialed back a little bit?
Well, being cautiously optimistic, I think the racing will be slightly better than last year because I think we have obviously a little bit better aero rules for this year and a little bit more of a few more things to use, but. Yeah, man, it's going to be warm for race day. So I just don't know yet. I wish I could say cars are going to be vaulting around each other and there's going to be great runs and great, you know, towing up and passing each other. You know, first and second, they'll have a great ability to do that. And if third place can get a run as well on first and second, then that might mix things up. But usually the first two cars in the train are the only ones that are able to pass each other unless someone else makes a mistake. But I think when you see the tires go off and you see people get to the end of the stints, I think there's going to be a lot more going on. So that'll be something to pay attention to. And I am optimistic about it being, a certainly more exciting. And I thought last year was exciting, the race, but it will be more exciting, I believe, this year at a nice slight excitement bump.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Good to know. Yeah, because it's certainly been exciting to watch during those practice sessions. But I know come race day, we got to take care of a lot more things. And that's the one shot. So I get it. All right. There's a question asked to you by one Denny Hamlin. Should we throw it to that and see what he's got?
Absolutely. Denny Hamlin, big fan of his program here on the Dirty Mo Media platform. So take it away, Denny.
First of all, you're going to have to probably wait in line. I still owe Marco Andretti a helmet. He sent me his address, and I've just let that slip my brain. So I got to send Marco one first, and then I'll get Connor one after that.
So now it's your turn. What questions do you have for Connor and the Speed Street guys?
When he was growing up, did he always want to be an indie guy? Did he ever say that, have any interest in being a stock car guy? I just want to go to the Indy 500 to be a guest of his, so I'm requesting that from him because he's the mayor of Indy. We may or may not have hung out at a few bars at Indy, and the guy will have a statue outside of the Capitol one day.
Well, Denny, to answer your first statement question, I appreciate the fact that you would be willing to trade me a helmet. That is very, very exciting. Marco Andretti, him coming first is understandable. He is a very world-renowned racing driver. And I appreciate your question about, did I always want to be an IndyCar driver? Well, it was really Formula One first. But the funny thing about my background as what I wanted to be is I didn't think I was allowed to be a NASCAR driver. I thought I was like headed so towards F1 and IndyCar that I was like, I just assumed that you had to, go a completely different way to become a NASCAR driver. And I didn't know what was possible. So I collected NASCAR diecasts probably more than I collected IndyCar diecasts because there was obviously more cars to collect. So I have a massive, outstanding diecast collection of NASCARs, NASCAR Cup cars, and probably Xfinity cars as well. But yeah, always was headed towards open wheel. So the fact that I've got to compete in some NASCAR stuff is honestly really personally satisfying for me and really, really cool. And to answer your second question, or basically refer to your next statement, sorry that you don't want to do the Indy 500 race it, but if you want to be a guest of mine, that would be fantastic. And as Denny mentioned, we have done some interacting at bars across the city of Indianapolis. I have witnessed Denny Hamlin sing karaoke at the Wild Beaver Saloon in downtown Indianapolis, which was honestly very impressive. So,
you Denny, remember what Denny song?
The thong song. It was a thong song. So, Denny Hamlin, great karaokeist, very, very strong, man of the party, I would say. I enjoy his ability to have a great time and also be a very, very talented motor racer. I find it very flattering that you think there should be a statue built of me in the city. I love that. I love this city. I love my city. So very fascinating stuff there from Denny Hamlin. Really appreciate that. Appreciate the support of the show.
Yes, sir. And hopefully one day Denny Hamlin will find out my name and want to ask me questions too.
I think he will.
Good questions. Those are good questions to ask Connor, and we'd love to have him. Hey, maybe that's the time. he comes out and he's a guest of yours at Indy 500, and then I can hang out with him while you're doing all the fast car stuff on the track. We did just get some breaking news here, boys, real quick. Tyrese Halliburton driving the pace car for the Indy 500 coming up on Sunday. That is the point guard, all-star point guard for the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, really? Huh. I didn't see that. Very cool.
My friend just texted me.
I know. I see it now. Tyrese Halliburton, honestly, he's a superstar. So that's cool. Hopefully he enjoys it. I would like to meet Tyrese. I think watching him play basketball is actually really awesome. So that's cool.
We had bad luck. I mean, the last time that we had a Pacer do it is Victor Oladipo. And then like the next year, he like wanted to go play in Miami. And
That's so, all right. Tyrese, yeah. I think, is locked in. We're going to go on a playoff run next year. Fingers crossed. Fingers and toes crossed.
We got Joel singing the national anthem. Big get. We got Adam Driver waving the green flag. Huge get. Tyrese Halliburton, mix of the local again. Big get. So this is it. This is what we do in the Indy 500. We get all the big names, and we get everybody doing the cool things and everybody watching, and it's going to be a great time. I did want to mention real quick, too, that last chance tickets for my show at the Vogue tomorrow. Well, it might be tonight when you're listening to this on Thursday night. The clock's ticking there, so we put out some last chance ones there. Just got confirmation that Scott McLaughlin is going to be joining, is going to come up on stage. So Scott McLaughlin, Ben Polizzi, Willie Griswold for the Bob and Tom Show, myself, I think Drew Powell might be there, our first guest on the show.
Oh,
so,
nice.
It's going to be a pop. Gonna be popping night at the Vogue before we get things started on Carb Day, of course. So again, last chance tickets available now in my bio. Go get yours and hope to see you there. We're gonna be partying until it's Carb Day, and it's gonna be great. All right, Connor, 10th Indy 500, bro. Any last parting words before you go out there and run it for the 10th time, and we talk next week?
Well, I'm just excited for it, honestly. It's something that. It's a feeling that I sadly haven't been able to have so far this year, and we're working towards being better, obviously all across the board, everyone. We feel like we can be competitive. We feel like we can go out there and compete at the front. I would say the top cars to watch for right now are always the Ganassis. I think they're very, very fast. I would say more Dixon and Pillow than, the other two. I actually had a quick chat with Takuma Sato last night. Good to see him. He seemed to think his car was a little bit slower than the other Ganassi cars, which is wild considering he did a 234.7 on Fast Friday. But Takuma is, he's going to be good in the race no matter what. But I think Pato O'Ward, honestly, probably has one of the strongest race cars that I've seen during the on-track sessions. And I bet Scotty Mack will be good too. Will Power is kind of hit and miss. I'm not really sure, but I would say those are the highlights right now. The Andretti cars, I'm not sure about, honestly. It's hard to tell. I bet Colton will be good. I'm sure Kyle will be good. But it's going to be interesting to see how those guys develop. So that's kind of it for me. And
well, how about that? Because you mentioned, the dudes who I've placed wagers on are, yourself, are Scott McLaughlin, are Pato O'Ward, and our Ryan Hunter Ray. Those are my predictions and the folks who I've placed wagers on to drink the milk. And I got those at DraftKings. So I'm sure
there
they go after qualifications. But I'm glad that you said that those guys have strong cars and you feel like you have a strong car. So that will bode well for me, hopefully, and yourself, obviously.
There you go. And also, speaking of Ryan Hunter Ray, last-minute announcements, they just announced he's got a primary sponsor on the side of that car. So 1 minute ago, welcome Root Insurance to the Ryan Hunter Ray machine. So they've changed the green to orange, but the car is still all black, and it just says Root on the side. So love that for Ryan Hunter Ray. Root Insurance, good for them. That's cool to see him land a primary for the greatest race in the entire world.
I talked to him on Monday night at the Burger Bash before he went on and after we went on, and we were just chatting, and I was like, man, that ride of yours is so slick, man. He's like, I know. He said, there's going to be a sponsor, but I'm kind of hoping just to keep it mostly stealth black like that. I was like, I don't blame you.
Stealthy. So,
good for him getting that sponsor, stealthy, but also keeping the stealth there. That's good.
Yeah. Well, let's get one more random Indy 500 driver of the week before the field of 33 sets off this weekend, and there might be some random names in this field that you might, you know, 50 years from now think, hey, there's going to be some random Indy 500 drivers in this field. All right, let's go to the year. So I liked our fan suggestion of 1953 last time. So this year, this show I went with 1954. So this is the random Indy 500 driver of the week. The race was won by Bill Vukovich. Lot of names in this field that we can, a couple names that we've used before. But one that I have actually, I don't remember seeing, but we're going to go with the 13th place finisher. 13th place finisher was Manny Aiello. Manny Aiello, who looks like his middle name is Leonidas, which is awesome. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Manuel Leonidas Aiello. I'm just going to go with Leonidas. Now, look, don't accuse me for not knowing how to pronunciate things. I'm just going with it. You know what I mean? Let's see. Was an American race car driver, along with those of friend teammate Jack McGrath. He helped establish track roadsters as viable race cars. Sadly, Aiello was killed in practice for the 1955 Indy 500. Man, we're picking a lot of RIPs here. That's a real shame. 1955 practice crash went straight into the concrete wall. He was found to have not been wearing a seatbelt, and his pockets were filled with wrenches. That's probably not a good way to survive hitting the wall, not wearing a seatbelt. The 50s were a different time. Bold move from Manny. RIP Manny. Looks like he had several Indy 500 starts. 1949, he started 33rd, shotgun on the field. 1951, he was there. 1952, 1953, and then 54. So several Indy 500s for our pal. But yeah, wow, that's a tough way to go. Bunch of wrenches in your pocket, man.
Yep, and you say his highest finish already, 13th? Yeah, that was his highest finish there. Did that multiple times, and then did not qualify in 1955.
Like 1951, it says he finished third, but it also doesn't say his qualifying speeds or start place. So that could be just Wikipedia. We'll see. Looks like he finished third in 1951.
Huh. Oh, wait. Well, then it's up here on the other form that it has. It says Indy, and it has DNS.
Oh, huh.
Who knows? Hey, folks, that's why we say it's Wikipedia. So, you know, there's probably better research out there to be done, but that's not how we roll with the Ricky Treadway Random Indy 500 Driver of the Week. Okay. So, it's all right, man.
That's it.
Here we go. Everybody, it's here. We have waited almost 365 days, and the weekend is upon us. And we're going to have so much fun leading up to it. And then we're going to have so much fun watching Connor go after it and drink the milk on Sunday afternoon out there off 16th and Georgetown. It's going to be a fantastic time. Thank you for all the support, like we said throughout the month and like we said, really throughout the year. But I know Connor always hears it at every different track, every different weekend. But I've even heard it now this month being out at the Speedway and seeing the T-shirts and people just, yay, Speed Street. And we really appreciate it. And it really is great to talk to all of you and to know that you guys are enjoying it. So if you see Connor in the garages or walk into the pits or whatever, do the same. And if you see me in the garages or out having Miller lattes or doing whatever we do race weekend, please be sure to shout and we'll chop it up and have a good time celebrating the greatest weekend of the year. So for Connor Daly, for Ben Walton, for myself, Joey Molinaro, happy race weekend. Be safe, have fun, and go Connor.
Thank you.
Check out Dirty Mo Media on YouTube,
Twitter,
Facebook,
and Instagram.
Keep coming, bud.
Dirty Mo.
You're going to do it. You're going to win it.
You're going to win it. You're going to win it.